The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning and welcome to Education Nation. Thank you for joining us here. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege, of course, to join all of you on this Saturday morning, our first Saturday in December.
Here we are, the last month of 2017.
Yes, and Christmas is coming. Hopefully everybody's getting their Christmas shopping done and celebrating the season. But I am joined in studio, of course, once again by Mark Durkin. You just heard him a moment ago there.
And good to see you again, Rebecca.
Good to see you, too. We're so happy to have you joining me, and I just am always grateful for the research that you do for this show each week.
Very informative, and
Thank
it's always
you.
A pleasure.
Thank you. So in a number of classrooms in the Edina Public Schools, students who dare to offer a dissenting perspective from the ideological racial identity narrative can expect to be bullied and humiliated. And we talked about some of this on our show a couple of weeks back when we had Catherine Kirsten on, and we'll be having her back on in a few minutes here. And many of these students fear retaliation in terms of grades or humiliation before their peers. Many parents have come forth and they acknowledge that their kids have written things in their assignments that they don't believe in order to just survive the bullying tactics. Can you imagine?
It's a weight to carry.
They've endured enough public shaming, that's for sure.
And the social media Twitter accounts of district teachers, if you look at them, they are filled with leftist indoctrination, which is another strong indicator of what students are hearing and facing in the classroom. And as we discussed 2 weeks ago, the district incorporated the All for All plan back in 2013. Again, its premise is that white racism, not socioeconomic or family breakdown, is the primary cause of the district's achievement gap.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Edina Public School District has replaced reading, writing, math, and critical thinking skills with this ideological quest for racial identity. Several years of ideological indoctrination and bullying in the classroom has produced an ugly harvest where just over Veterans Day, emboldened students took their bullying bias outside of the classroom. Well, this morning, we want to talk about both. Joining us again over the phone this morning is Catherine Kirsten, and Catherine is a writer and attorney, a senior policy fellow, and founding director at the Center of the American Experiment. She also served as its chair from 1996 through 1998, and Catherine has also served as a Metro columnist for the Star Tribune from 2005 through 2008, and before that was an opinion columnist for the paper for 17 years. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I was one of your biggest fans, Catherine, and your opinion columns. I love reading your work. It's always very well researched and very unbiased in the way you present. So thank you so much for joining us again over the phone this morning on Education Nation.
Thanks. Well, pleasure to be with you.
Good, good. Well, I'm going to just jump right in because our time always goes so fast. So many parents of the Edina students are really tired of this indoctrination, and they're kind of weary of their kids coming home from school feeling defeated because their beliefs are forbidden at school, and that white people, especially white men, are bad over and over. So indoctrination at the Edina Public School was especially evident at this school's multicultural show that took place this past April. Could you share with our listeners the show organizers' goals in putting this type of production on?
Yes, and these statements came from Zephyrus, which is the Edina High School student newspaper and official news site.
Okay.
The paper said that the students' performers were using the show to, and I'm quoting her, call students, faculty, staff, and administrators to act en masse to address racial injustice. And the paper said that the show's organizers were attempting to, what they call, ignite a conversation pertaining to white privilege and the Black Lives Matter movement.
And, you know, this is something that obviously was top down. This is, you know, they thought we're going to make this happen. And, you know, what were some of the performances that were on display, you know, in front of what is being described as a restless audience?
Yeah. When you hear about some of these, you'll get a sense for why the audience appeared, quote, restless, according to Zephyrus.
Yes.
Well, for example, two students read a poem called White Privilege. Mm. And according to the newspaper, it, quote, reflected the complexities of the Black Lives Matter movement. There was another poem called To Be Black, A Woman and Alive, which, according to the paper, emphasized the hypocrisy of gender and racial standards. And, of course, the show moved beyond the racial focus to an LGBT focus.
Right.
And there was one student who gave a kind of delivered, I suppose, what she might have thought of as a poem, but it was about her sexual fantasies starting in seventh grade.
Oh, my, this is
about one of her female classmates. And I don't know if you want to hear a sample line from what
she
said.
Sure, I think we should.
Okay, so it went on and on. I've been able to see the whole thing, but she said, quote, I spent seventh grade music classes imagining her legs intertwining with mine, her body constantly reminding me of a violin, and I was begging to be allowed to pluck one string.
And
it went on
gosh.
On like this and on. And of course, you know, your initial thought is, gosh, what if a male student had recited a so-called poem like this in front of the school? We can imagine what would have happened to him.
Oh, my goodness.
But, of course, no male student would have dreamed of any such public performance.
Right. They know better. They know better. And this was only seventh grade, did you say?
No, I was saying that she said that since seventh grade.
Okay.
This was at the high school.
This was at the high school. And just clarify for us, too, was this a required event for all the students of the high school, or was this
optional? My understanding is it was a required event.
My goodness.
I've talked to parents who say, from now on, I'm going to insist that my kids be excused from such an event. But yeah, everybody was certainly expected to go to this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is one of the things that we see happening across the nation, is that there's just such a push on the part of the schools. And it's like, how much can the parents opt their kids out from? You know, I mean, we're going to talk in a little while about some of the coursework, too, that these kids have been told they have to do. In fact, that's what I want to bring up next. I know that during Edina's May term, there was a parent that gave an account of how their child had no choice but to take a class called Race, Racism, and Whiteness, because all the other classes were full. And the class title links whiteness with racism. So basically, if you're white, you're racist.
Can't be black and racist. That's one of the tenets of this ideology.
Right, which is, I find, so confusing and illogical. But during the reading, it sounds like there was a particular poem that the teacher for this class couldn't help but to invoke her personal feelings about the police.
Yeah.
What do you know about that?
That's right. Well, this came from a parent. And what the parent said was that while this teacher was reading the poem out loud, the teacher came to a word and stopped reading the poem, and then said that the word she was about to say next made her feel physically sick just by saying it, and that word was police.
Oh, my goodness.
And the parent who wrote this said that he or she had family members who had been involved in public safety, and, in fact, one of these family members had been killed in the line of duty. Yes, it was very, very distressing to this family.
Well, and I'm sure that teacher who made such a spectacle out of saying the word police, would not have any trouble calling the police if there was somebody breaking into her home. And she probably would say, call the police right now.
Seriously, hadn't gotten
it
there in 30 seconds.
Oh, and that's what makes it so absurd in so many ways. It's hard to believe this is even really happening and that they're really serious. It seems so absurd that it seems like it's not even serious.
Right. It's so brash and it's so bold, but you know, the purveyors of this ideological indoctrination, they were really catapulted into this downward despondency following the presidential election of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to turn our attention to that. One student described Edina High School at the time as, quote unquote, descending into mass hysteria, while others portrayed the election result as the end of the world as we know it. Both parents and students, they flooded the center of the American experiment with stories of post-election partisan bullying. Catherine, will you share with our audience just several more of the severe examples of bullying that parents and students found themselves on the receiving end?
Sure. I mean, there were so many of these. This is just a brief selection. One student wrote to us that the day after the election, quote, every teacher was crying in class. And I've heard this from a number of students. Students said one teacher even told the whole class that Trump's victory was worse than 9/11 and the Columbine shooting.
Okay.
One student said that a teacher said that the told the class through tears that the election was rigged. One mother wrote that in her 10th grader's AP World History class, the teacher had demanded basically that any students suspected of being Trump supporters publicly declare and assure the class that they were not racist themselves.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about public shaming.
You know, and okay, so these stories come forth. Do you think these parents are going to the administration with these stories? Is there anything being done? I mean, I know, you know, if something like that happened at our school, I would certainly be addressing this with the teachers.
Right.
You know, regardless of which direction that goes. So, you know, I know there are a lot of people concerned when President Obama won office for different reasons. And yet there certainly wasn't that type of carrying on.
Right.
Oh, absolutely not. And from talking to parents and students, my general impression is that students, their parents have approached the administration about these kinds of things, and generally they are being told it was an aberration or being told it's being taken care of, but you know, it basically just brushed off.
Just listening and not acting and not doing anything about it.
I mean, just, you know, with the examples we heard about in April and May following the presidential election, I mean, you wouldn't know the school district has policies in place that supposedly are supposed to prohibit the lack of balance in ideological strong-arming that appear to be a norm in the district. So if you would share with us the guidelines of, say, like Policy 606 and the striking violation of this policy that took place weeks after the election. And what's interesting about it is that, from what I understand, it came from a high school English teacher named Tim Globichar, a relative of U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar.
How ironic.
Right. Well, Policy 606 for the Edina Public Schools is about controversial issues, among other things. And I quote from the policy here, it requires that, quote, all sides of an issue be given the proper hearing in the classroom, and that students must learn about alternative points of view on controversial issues. And it also prohibits teachers from using their position to forward their own political or social bias. I mean, a teacher can express a personal opinion, but the teacher must identify this personal opinion, and they can't do it if their purpose is to persuade students to agree with their point of view. And so the violation you're talking about occurred a couple of weeks after the election in 2016, when Tim Klobuchar, as you said, an English teacher at the school, wrote an editorial about the Trump victory, and it was co-signed by 80 teachers. And what he certainly suggested very strongly in this op-ed piece that President Trump was a racist, along with basically everybody who voted for him. The editorial goes on about student groups, the usual suspects, feeling targeted, being fearful of their safety as a result of the victory of this racist president, physically unsafe, and went on to basically implicitly denounce Trump. And to quote this other teacher who was saying that teachers must, quote, teach rebellion against a broken world going forward during the Trump administration.
The
irony here is there's another policy, which is policy 512, about what can go into the student newspaper. And it says that the school must not be associated with any position other than neutrality on politically controversial issues. Obviously, this is not political neutrality by these teachers.
Outrageous.
Well, the irony is, the teacher who was charged with enforcing this policy as the paper faculty advisor signed the editorial herself.
Oh, my goodness. You really can't get more blatant than that.
I mean, this is the thing. You see how the glaring hypocrisy that's there with Minnesota's quote-unquote Safe and Supportive Schools Act that was signed into law back in 2011. I mean, it really just applies to one side.
Yeah, well, and we knew that. I mean, we knew that when that was going through the legislature, and it went through so quickly, and there wasn't a lot of time for people.
Yep.
And because of the name, people weren't alarmed. They thought, nobody wants bullying, you know.
That's right. And of course, another irony is that with all the bullying and harassment of these conservative students that's gone on, nobody in the administration has cited that law, which should protect these kids, but they're hung out to dry.
Yeah. Which, again, where is the administration on this? You know, we're just seeing over and over and over again. There just seems to be just such support for the leftist ideology and you know, the administration is there to protect all students, not just some of them, not the ones they agree with only. So, yeah, it's really, really shocking. Well, we've discussed a lot of examples of a lack of respect and the lack of exchange of ideas, really, that are being fostered by this new all-in-all program in Edina Public Schools. And it's really left parents and students feeling bullied. And unfortunately, the lack of respect modeled by the district has really only emboldened the students' behavior outside of the classroom. So we hear that during Veterans Day, during the week of Veterans Day, the Edina High School held an event to honor Edina's vets, and that many students actually really behaved poorly. And some didn't, many didn't, but many students actually later confirmed on Facebook that their behavior was intended to make an anti-American political statement, even with these vets right there. Pretty shocking. Can you share with us, share with our listeners, some of the behaviors that really took place during that Veterans Day assembly?
Yes. These students lounged on the floor of the gym. And, I mean, the paper, the Star Tribune has said, you know, they sat during the assembly, during National Anthem, during the playing of Taps. But that doesn't begin to convey what they actually did.
You know,
they lounged on the floor. They talked. They laughed. They talked on their cell phones. My understanding is that some of them played music on their cell phones in order to disrupt, make it difficult for the kids behind them to hear. And there's a video of this actually. Out there that shows what these students were doing.
Yeah, and you know what? I watched that video too, and I was just shocked because, you know, with the veterans events types, these types of things, it's always the elderly veterans that show up for these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who are not even probably fully understanding all of the conversation that's taking place around this. And so to show that kind of disrespect at a special event where these elderly gentlemen are there, I just found it shocking. And you kind of see people kind of looking like, what's going on? Why do we hear sounds when they're playing taps?
Right.
Taps is supposed to be one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Just
sacred.
No, there we go. Yes. People know you just don't talk during taps. It's kind of like we just were in D.C. and we went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And when they changed the guards, nobody talks. Everyone knows that it's just out of respect. There should be dead silence. And that's how it is with taps. And I find that just appalling. And again, no response on the part of the administration.
You know, I have a question for you on that, Catherine. Has anyone spoken to the veterans that were in attendance at this assembly to kind of get their reaction? Have they spoken up at all about what happened?
You know, I have never seen anything about that. That's an excellent point, to get their reaction as to what was going on. I suppose you'd have to go to the administration to get the names of the veterans who were there. And I doubt very much that they would be so
exactly.
Right. Good point.
Well, you know, John Hinderaker from Powerline Blog commented a lot about what took place during this assembly and then the follow-up. You know, the anti-American sentiment and their political positions, they were made clear over social media, as we mentioned, after leaving the gymnasium. And I want to bring about a couple of quotations of some things that were written over Twitter in response to some of the pushback that did come from the Young Conservatives Club, because they had made mention over social media that there was disrespect that was levied against these veterans. And there was one particular student, and she wrote this, quote, "And I will never respect this country or what it stands for. I don't respect the fact that our president is an open racist. Never will. And guess what?" And then in all caps, she writes, "That's my right. So if I sit while veterans are being praised for being murderers, then that's my right. And what country suppresses women?" With, you know, quotation.
Yes. Again, sorry. Well, I'll let you respond, Catherine.
The irony here is that quite a number of these students who engaged in this behavior were Somali refugees.
Oh.
Certainly, and my understanding is that individual you just quoted was from that background. Hmm. And is particularly rich.
Wow.
That, I mean, anybody who's seen Black Hawk Down, for example, the movie, has a sense for what America did and just, you know, how we've opened our arms to Somali refugees. It's it's particularly troubling, I think, when you see that kind of attitude in your face contempt.
Well, and the whole comment about suppressing women, it's completely unrelated to the other part of her argument, which is so typical of this generation and this really not even just this generation, but typical of this conversation. And there's no actual logic. There's no reasoned thought behind. So it's just like they throw out isms and they're not even related to each other. And
regurgitating what they're hearing in the classroom.
Yes, yes. And
I couldn't have put it better. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yes, it's just very, very frustrating. But when I think of, you know, a country that suppresses women, I mean, as you point out, that if this was a student that did come from the country that you, what was the country of origin
Somalia.
That you thought? Somalia?
Somalia.
Yeah, I would put our treatment of women up against theirs any day. So.
Most people would, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this was another quotation, too. I just want to cite one more student in response to the Young Conservative Club. He wrote this. He said, quote, "Edina YCC, or Young Conservatives Club, is just a group of punk white kids at EHS that go to the cafeteria during passing time like it's lunch and then go home to put all their opinions and feelings on an anonymous Twitter page like," and then he just rambled off a whole bunch of expletives. So again, very aggressive.
Once again, incoherent, too. Aggressive, but incoherent.
Totally incoherent.
So, that one shocked me too. Same thing, where I looked at this and thought, what is this? This poor student is not even able to really communicate.
To formulate a real argument.
Right.
Their thoughts, which again goes back to what kind of an education are these kids actually getting in the classroom?
Yep.
They are not being taught to think at all. Well, the verbal attacks and the bullying against these conservative students escalated to a video attack that came from a group of self-described anti-fascists. And the video, which
at Edina High School, yes.
At Edina High School, yes. Thank you. Yes, because we're seeing a lot of those groups all across the country showing up in mass. The video, though, in this particular case at Edina High School, the video, which has since been deleted, which does say that they recognize something was not good about it. It has a picture of one student in a mask releasing a list of demands to the Young Conservative Club. So the Young Conservative Club is a group of students, student-led organization in the Edina High School. And this particular video was directed to them. And we're going to play the full audio from this video post. And it's really spewing threats that are made against the school's conservative club. Let's listen.
Hello, YCC. We are EHS anti-fascists. Over the years, we have been watching you. Your inability to condemn racism. Your corruption of the EHS administration. Your sanctioning of hate speech towards innocent, ordinary students, all for the purpose of pushing your alt-right agenda. This is why we at EHS anti-fascists have decided that your club cannot continue to exist in its current form. We will not stop until every tentacle of your evil monstrosity is sliced off at the nerve. But we are also not without mercy. Our latest leak was our last warning. Meet our demands and we will consider not taking administrative action. First, remove every student who has frequented racism from your club. Then, apologize for fostering racism in your official GroupMe. This proposal is non-negotiable. The people are realizing societal racism will be ever present so long as you exist. The people are waking up, no longer accepting your intolerant ways. Meet these demands, or we will be going to the administration. Consider yourselves warned.
We are not without mercy. Last warning. Meet our demands.
Right.
Apologize for what? Exercising their First Amendment?
Right, right. Yes. And for their intolerant demands.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's point out that the music in the background is from Mozart's Requiem, which is a mass for the dead.
Right. Oh. That's a really good point. Oh, my goodness. Because I kept thinking the music has such a huge impact on this video.
Right.
I didn't recognize that was the particular one that it was, though. Oh, my goodness. That is a very, very good point. Well, and, you know, removing or cutting off every tentacle, you know, at the nerve.
And your evil monstrosity, yes.
Yeah. So how is it then that this was not considered a threat? Is that right? So this school's
correct.
Young Conservative Club, which they've been subject to much harassment and accusation, but they took to the social media to voice their frustration over the students who went out of their way to show contempt for those the veterans present at the assembly and all of this. And yet somehow the administration doesn't see this as any kind of a threat. I have a hard time understanding this.
Right. Well, that's true. So the superintendent of the Edina Public Schools actually issued a kind of a memo to the school community saying, you know, it's clear that he approved of the protesters because he called them peaceful. He said the video with that soundtrack you displayed was, quote, inflammatory and creepy, but that didn't bother him because he said, in fact, there was no credible or legal threat, whatever that means. He said some in the community had interpreted it as threatening. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, the point is, what if those young conservatives had posted something like this
right.
at the Black Student Union or at the protesters?
The sky
would have fallen on them. But
yes.
No, not in this situation.
Yes, and that's what we keep seeing over and over and over, is the double standard that has been set and accepted. It's come to be accepted amongst the media elite, amongst a lot of the college and university and K-12 schools, because there's such an overwhelming presence of that leftist ideology in those places that they
right.
think it just seems normal, you know, that's
right.
that anybody who's out of step and doesn't think the way they do is racist. And
right.
and this idea of having First Amendment rights, they don't even understand because, frankly, they're not being taught properly about First Amendment rights.
Yeah, we have about 15 seconds.
Correct.
I just want to ask real quick, Catherine,
goodness,
you know, conservative
so
students apparently are on the receiving end of discipline in terms of the high school cracking
yep.
down on them. Is that true?
Yep. Four of them were suspended for 3 days.
Conservative
students.
The club
was disbanded.
Students.
Nothing that we know of has happened to the so-called anti-fascists. Nothing, so far as we know, has happened to the students who were surrounding these kids, threatening them, pushing them into lockers, making them fear for their safety at Edina High School.
Oh, my goodness. Catherine, we are going to have to end on that horrible note, and we're going to have to follow up with another show. Thank you so much for joining us today on Education Nation.
Great to be with you.